You have to love computers. Grace be unto you and peace from the God that we love with all of our heart, the God that we love because he first loved us. Amen. Dear fellow worshipers of our living Lord and Savior, ever since the early days of the New Testament Christian Church, God's faithful people have been confessing the words, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints." You and I confess those words every time we gather together here in God's house and join together in reciting the Apostles' Creed, as we just did moments ago. But when you speak those words, do those words simply roll off your tongue without hardly giving them a second thought? Or do you honestly reflect on what those words mean? When you and I say that I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, what we are saying is we believe there is only one true church, the church with a capital C. The one true church includes everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah who came into this world to save us from our sins. The one true church is not confined to any visible organization here on this earth. In other words, it crosses all denominational lines. The one true church does not contain any hypocrites at all. The one true church is known only to God, because only God has the power. Only God has the ability to look into a person's heart to see whether or not saving faith lives there. As you and I continue our sermon series from the book of Revelation, today we are given the opportunity to look at a picture of the one true church. For that reason, let's study this text under those very familiar words, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints." There are three things that we want to see this morning. First of all, let's see that the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, is the epitome of perfect beauty. Then let's see that the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, is the epitome of perfect protection. And finally, let's see that the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, is the epitome of existing with God. Our text for today is all but a continuation of last Sunday's text when we looked at the opening verses of Revelation chapter 21. Last week we heard that John was given the privilege of seeing the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. That picture emphasizes the close personal relationship that exists between the church as the bride and Jesus as her husband. In the verse directly preceding our text for this morning, the angel came to John and said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." That then leads directly to the opening verses of our text. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal." Since the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, is a picture depicting the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, we need to make sure that we don't read too much into that picture. The main point that I see the Holy Spirit emphasizing with both the picture of the bride beautifully dressed for her husband and the bride as the holy city Jerusalem is found in the words, "It shone with the glory of God." For the Jewish Christians who first heard these words, that term, the glory of God, was very familiar and very significant. In Exodus chapter 40, we're told that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Remember the tabernacle that went through the wilderness? It filled it to a point that not even Moses could enter into the tent of meeting. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, we're told that when the Ark of the Lord was first brought into Solomon's temple, that glorious, beautiful temple, that the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. And whenever I hear that term, the glory of the Lord, I automatically think of the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus' face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light, and a bright cloud enveloped Peter, James, and John. The point here, my friends, is this. Neither you, nor I, nor the church with a small c has any holiness, any glory in and of ourselves. Scripture very clearly states, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then why? Why do we confess that we believe in the holy Christian church, the communion of saints? The only reason we are able to confess those words is because through faith in what Jesus has done for us, the Lord God Almighty freely gives to us his perfect glory. Paul emphasizes that truth when he wrote to the Ephesian Christians, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. What does this mean? It means that the holy Christian church, of which you are a member, it means that the communion of saints, which includes you, is indeed the epitome of perfect beauty. Yes, it is true. It is true that we openly confess to God that we have sinned against him in thought, word, and deed. Yes, it is true that we daily ask our Heavenly Father to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But because of our faith in Jesus and what he accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary's Hill, from God's perspective, we are holy. In God's eyes, we are indeed saints because of the robe of righteousness that Jesus secured for us on the cross of Calvary's Hill. God's perfect glory not only shines in us, but it also shines through us. That's the epitome of perfect beauty. Let's move on to the second point. We are able to say that the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, is the epitome of perfect protection because of what we're told in these words of our text. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The fact that the holy city had a great high wall certainly did not surprise John or his original hearers. In ancient times, every city of any importance had a wall around it to protect those who were inside of that city. What may have surprised John was that there were 12 gates in this wall, inscribed with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. What may have surprised John is that there was a powerful holy angel stationed at each and every one of these gates. Now, there are two possibilities when it comes to why an angel was stationed at each of these gates. First of all, the angels may have been there to make sure that only the descendants of Abraham walked through those gates into the holy city of God. Hence the names of the 12 tribes of Israel inscribed on those gates. Now, if that truth causes tears to well up in your eyes, because as far as you know, you do not have the blood of Abraham coursing through your veins, be of good cheer. In Romans chapter 9, the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to write these words. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Even though we may not have the blood of Abraham coursing through our veins, the fact that by God's grace we do have the faith of Abraham living in our hearts means that we are included in God's promise that all Israel will be saved. It means that those powerful, holy angels will most certainly allow us to pass through those gates and enter into the holy city of our God. The second reason that the angels may have been posted at these gates is to make sure that no unbelievers went through the gates to eat from the tree of life. This thought takes me back to the Garden of Eden. You may remember that after God banished Adam and Eve from the garden because they rebelled against him, we're told, the Lord placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. The fact that the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, is indeed a place of perfect protection is also brought out in the fact that the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. An absolutely beautiful parallel passage to this point in Revelation is once again found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that as God's household, we are founded on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Since the Holy Christian Church is built on the rock-solid foundation of Christ and his holy word, since the communion of saints is built on Peter's beautiful confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus is able to assure us that not even the gates of hell itself will prevail against this holy city. Not even the gates of hell itself will be able to prevail against Christ's holy church. Now that's the epitome of perfect protection. The final point that we want to glean from this text is found in the closing verses. John writes, "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp." The temple of the Lord was the very heart of the Old Testament city of Jerusalem. The temple of the Lord was where God's people went to receive God's grace and God's mercy and God's peace. The temple of the Lord is where sacrifices were made to forgive the sins of God's people. The temple of the Lord was the place where God's people brought their offerings to their Lord and their God. As John scanned the holy city, the new Jerusalem in heaven above, he quickly saw that there was no temple. But then he realized that the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There was no longer any need, my friends, for a special, specific place where God's people would go to receive God's grace and God's mercy and God's peace. There was no longer any need for a special, specific place where God's people would bring sacrifices for the forgiveness of their sins, or a special, specific place where they would bring their offerings to the Lord. The Holy Christian Church includes being enveloped by a perfect existence with the Lord God Himself, the communion of saints, means living in perfect harmony with the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. My prayer then this morning, my friends, is that every time you and I gather together here in God's house and recite the words of the Apostles' Creed, that we will indeed pay special attention to those words, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints." Remember that the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, is the epitome of perfect beauty. It is the epitome of perfect protection, and it is the epitome of a perfect existence with God. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.